Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us on a fine Wednesday. Coming up this hour on the show, Adnan Virk is going to join us 40 minutes from now. DAZN host, MLB Network host, former Baseball Tonight host, on what faces the Astros moving forward. One of the Astros' former players, Marwin Gonzalez, publicly apologized yesterday. He's now a member of the Twins. Supposedly today, Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, will meet with the players, and they will come out with some type of marching orders. So we'll talk about it with Adnan Virk coming up here, our friend, in approximately 40 minutes from now. If you missed Dunn to A-News last hour, the story was in the great state of Florida, which gives us, I would say, stunned to a news approximately 75 to 80% of the time. A pet bulldog was attacked outside of the house by a river otter. The fight escalated to inside the house, to where the mother of the household grabbed the river otter by the tail and held it up like a trophy. In her words, quote, like a prize, which is just the most badass mom move ever. I think my mom is one of the coolest people on the history of the planet, but I ain't never seen her pick up an animal by the tail. That's some Annie Oakley stuff right there. That is amazing. So, our poll question today, have you ever held an animal by its tail? You can cast your vote and rock the vote by simply going to CBS Sports Radio's Twitter handle, at CBS Sports Radio, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Have you ever held an animal by its tail? I feel like our resident redneck, Dixieland Dan, is doing it as he types to us. I could see him with one hand holding up a river otter with the other hand tweeting at me.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
So there's been so much fallout surrounding the Astros, and more is coming out basically by the day. And the Wall Street Journal report from late last week was very damning. Evidence that the GM, Jeff Luhnow, got emails about the cheating. And Jeff Luhnow's excuse is, well, I never saw that because I didn't get to the end of the email. It was at the end of the email. Nice. So either your general manager doesn't have the focus or attention span to get to the end of his emails, or he's completely lying about knowing about the depth of their cheating. On top of it, these emails were entitled Dark Arts, calling within the organization what they are doing the Dark Arts, which would suggest that they knew it was below board. Also, that there was an actual computer program named Codebreaker, developed by one of the people in the front office, and that person, once it was instituted and it was successful, got promoted within the organization. The idea that the Astros were just a players-only They were just the players running it is so ridiculous. Now, were the players the ones on the front lines pushing it forward? Probably. But let's not act as though everybody within the organization was sitting there naive and the players were like, oh, you know what? We should do this. Yeah, this is good. And everybody else is like, wow, we had no idea. They had a program called Codebreaker that they would input every pitch and its sign into. Yet this just in, Jose Altuve is not also in the IT department. You don't have players on a daily basis inputting the data into their Codebreaker program. It's not like a Fitbit. So, an interview between longtime, awesome baseball writer, my favorite baseball writer, Tom Verducci, and A.J. Hinch, brought more news and more controversy as Hinch finally sat down and spoke publicly. And Verducci asked him about the accusations that Jose Altuve was wearing a buzzer when he hit the game-winning home run against the Yankees in the ALCS.
Now the hindsight of looking at the Astros, people are looking at the Astros in a very different lens based on the commissioner's investigation, which includes now, in their eyes, the 2019 season. We've heard reports about Astros players wearing buzzers underneath their uniforms. That's how they're getting the signal, what pitch is coming. I know the commissioner's office looked into this and they determined there was nothing to it. Can you assure us there were no buzzers or anything like that being used?
Well, the commissioner, we got investigated for 3 months and the commissioner's office did as thorough an investigation as anyone could imagine was possible. I mean, I know he mentioned the emails and the texts and the messages. And I believe them.
Well, that's a dissatisfying answer. Instead of A.J. Hinch saying there were no buzzers, he is saying commissioner did a really thorough investigation and didn't show up any buzzers. Which is not saying there were no buzzers. Now, let me bring you down the road of maybe, but unlikely. A.J. Hinch didn't know about the buzzers and that Jose Altuve was using one himself and Hinch didn't realize it, didn't know it at the time, but is keeping open the possibility that, yes, we did use buzzers. That's one possibility. The second possibility is A.J. Hinch knows that buzzers were used, but they didn't find it in the investigation. So he does not want to implicate himself again if, for whatever reason, it did come out that they were using buzzers. Either he didn't know, or he did know and doesn't want to admit it, or this was Verducci's reasoning. C. A.J. Hinch has scandal fatigue. This is what Verducci said. He's got scandal fatigue. And that he's just not going to say anything, yes or no, one way or the other, because there's something new that came out every day, and he's just not going to go into those specifics. What do I believe? I believe that A.J. Hinch doesn't necessarily know if Jose Altuve was using buzzers. I think Hinch doesn't necessarily know, but wouldn't put it past him. And I think A.J. Hinch, hoping to be back in baseball one day as a World Series winning manager, is going to cover his tracks and cover his bases, knowing that, you know what, this organization screwed me over this time, screwed over my reputation this time. I'm not going to let them get me again. I'm not trusting anybody with any of this. Now, this is not to say A.J. Hinch is off the hook, because while Hinch has tried to say, oh, I tried to stop it, I smashed the computer, you know, Hinch has also said, I should have done more, it happened on my watch, I regret it, I'll always regret it. And A.J. Hinch, the manager, who may never win another World Series in his entire life, his entire career, says it's a fair question to ask whether our World Series is tainted. Well, number one, it is tainted. There's no way it's a fair question. It is. You got fired. Your GM got fired. You lost draft picks. Other guys got fired on other teams. It's a never-ending scandal that we're pulling apart the pieces of. Yeah, it's tainted. Absolutely, it's tainted. But I think A.J. Hinch knows there was a lot of stuff going on and absolutely will not say yes or no to anything at this point in time so that it can't come back to bite him. I'll tell you, does it give anybody confidence in A.J. Hinch's answer that Jose Altuve was not using a buzzer? Is anybody out there like, oh, you know what, then that's a pretty good answer. I'm convinced that they didn't do it. You might think that they didn't do it. You might say, well, you know what, I mean, baseball did investigate this and they didn't come up with it. The Astros absolutely deny it categorically. But Hinch's answer definitely does not give you any confidence that that answer is absolutely plausibly true. And A.J. Hinch does duck it. And here's why. Like I said, Hinch is scared. There's other stuff that's going to come out, and he doesn't know all of the stuff, I think, that happened. He might know most of it, but I think because this was so, it was so built within the organization where you have these programs run by the front office, executed by the front office, and the players doing it as well, that you don't know the depths of this, that there could be something every day that comes out. Here's what I believe about the Astros organization. Hell-bent on winning, cutthroat on winning, win at all costs, led them to try to find any advantage possible. They were good at drafting. They were good at developing. They were good at signing free agents. They were good at a lot of things. They were good at metrics and analytics, sabermetrics. They also were looking for any edge. And sign stealing has kind of been fine as long as you do it player to player in real time for century plus in baseball. They pushed it because they're using technology and video review to alter their swings and their spin rates and their arm angles, and they're using that anyway. So now the next step is, well, we'll use our technology to find the next advantage. And maybe if we're supposed to be just doing sign stealing in real time, well, maybe we can use video in real time. And maybe, you know what, other teams are doing it too. And so, well, you know, we'll just do it better than they do it. And there is a chutzpah, there is a arrogance, there is a, well, we're doing it better, and we're winning, and we're winners. And the more you crawl down that hole, the deeper and deeper you get, both literally and figuratively. And as you get deeper, you start having programs devoted to it, and emails sent about it, and players successful because of it, and the organization winning games because of it, and the manager winning games because of it, and then they're winning World Series because of it, and then they have three consecutive 100-win seasons and two World Series berths, and you know what? Once you start winning that much with it, you don't suddenly go, yeah, we should stop doing this. Well, no. The train's already out of the station. It's rumbling. You know, once you start winning at that level and there's that high and there's that adrenaline and everyone's getting paid, attendance is good, games are sold out, people are getting playoff bonuses, people are renegotiating contracts, people are getting endorsement deals, people are having the success, they're getting the wins. That's the high, that's the adrenaline rush, that's the competitive wow factor. Once that starts happening, nobody goes out of ethics, you know what, we should stop this. Nobody during the steroid era was mashing home runs and on their own moral volition said, you know, I should probably stop mashing home runs. It's just not right. Once you've already crossed the Rubicon ethically, you keep doing it. You don't stop that train. And that's what happened here. They kept pushing it and kept winning. And because they kept winning, nobody said we should stop this. So A.J. Hinch says, knock it off. Okay. But he's only going to say that so much because the winning's really good. And would it surprise me if it elevated to buzzers? No, because like I said, once you've tried it in other ways, once you've put it in your head, you know what? It's not that bad. We're good anyway. We're just better at this than others. Everyone else is doing it. Once you've crossed that threshold in your brain, in your mind, in your ethics, guess what? The buzzers are just the next part of it. Well, it was beaten on a trash can, but that's kind of outdated. So why don't we have buzzers instead so that I don't have to listen for the trash can? I'm just getting the signal anyway. It's the same thing. Would it surprise me? Not at all. And I think A.J. Hinch knows that. He can't be certain of anything because it was rooted so deep. When we come back, a former sack hero with one of the epic sack dances of all time says he wants the sack record. Does he have a valid call on this? Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. If you want to jump in on the Astro situation, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. This is the Morning Mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say, I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I don't have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mraz's mom has booked Adnan Verk from MLB Network and DAZN coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. We'll talk to him about the Astros situation as they will meet today with their owner, Jim Crane, to decide what the message is going to be. How about this? Humility and remorse. It's a good place to start. 22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us on a fine Wednesday around here. We'll have a PGP, a permission-granted podcast, available after the show. The show about the show within the show. We'll do PGP, tape that after the show today. It's available on all the same places you get the DA show in podcast form or on its own iTunes and podcast feed. Just simply search permission granted. Mark Gastineau, once upon a time, held the single-season sack record at 22. He set that in 1984. Gastineau, known best for generations that may have forgotten him or never knew him, for his long, flowing, wonderful, dark hair, his amazing 80s mustache, and his great 80s sack dance. In fact, everything about Mark Gastineau was New York in the 80s. Flashy, splashy, ridiculous. Flowing mane, weird mustache, crazy sack dance. You know, now guys have rhythm. Guys actually do dance moves. Guys swing their hips and they do a little jig and they dance side to side and they actually look cool dancing. Oh no, let me tell you about a time where the most famous sack dance in America was basically a guy looking like he's stepping on hot coals. This is supposed to be the apex of masculinity, a guy that some thought was on steroids, and all he's doing is throwing his hand in the air and just twirling around like a toddler dancing around his toys. That's not really a sack dance. So Mark Gastineau tells ESPN that he wants his sack record back. He had 22 in a season. It was broken in 2001 by Michael Strahan. Actually, Papa Amendo and I were at that game. Old Giant Stadium, Giants and Packers. Brett Favre rolls right, and Michael Strahan comes off the edge and basically just touches him down. Oh, don't want to hurt you, Brett. Okay, sack. The game's already out of reach. It's week 17. Packers lead by 2 scores. Favre eats it. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Was it a Fugazi way to get the single-season sack record? Yeah, absolutely. Either Favre gave himself up without Strahan knowing, or they worked it out together, but Favre definitely gave himself up for the sack because his offensive line and his head coach didn't call a pass play there. They called a run play. They're up by two scores on the road. Week 17. Regular season's almost over. They called a run play. They're up two scores. Favre audibles out of it, but doesn't tell his offensive line, rolls right to the side of Michael Strahan and sits down. Sits down like musical chairs, monkey in the middle. I'm sitting down. You touch me. That's a sack. That gives Michael Strahan 22 and a half, passing Mark Gastineau by a half sack. Since 01, Strahan has owned the single season sack record at 22 and a half. Is Gastineau right that it was fraudulent? Yes. Yes. What team up two scores who calls a run play on the road ends up taking a sack where Brett Favre inexplicably runs away from the offensive line and into the hands of the guy looking for the sack record and lays down? Yeah, all of that is questionable. But here's where Gastineau doesn't make much sense. There's two other guys tied with him at 22. Justin Houston got 22 and Jared Allen got 22. So Mark Gastineau wants the sack taken away from Michael Strahan so that Mark Gastineau could be tied with two other guys at 22 sacks? I don't know if Mark realizes this. Man, even if you took away that sack, you don't get the sack record all to yourself. You're tied with two other guys. Also, I heard this that I found very interesting. That a statistician within the NFL said at that game, that should not have been tallied a sack anyway because it was not an attempted pass. That because it was basically a quarterback scramble and he ran into Michael Strahan, that should just be a run for a loss, a tackle for a loss, not a sack. Which kind of makes sense that it should not have even been scored a sack. Gastineau wants the sack record for himself and for Justin Houston and for Jared Allen, but he wants it for himself and two other guys. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter DA on CBS. Brad Heller has our headlines this morning. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, DA. This report is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy.
We'll start. Good morning.
Oh.
That's you saying good morning from a previous good morning.
Oh, okay.
To yourself.
Right.
That was Pete the Body Bilotti telling you good morning.
Thank you. You know, because there were some technical issues earlier in the morning about there being a delay. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, okay. the delay kicked back in.
No delay. That's okay. Just you. Well, the delay is like 3 months ago. You said good morning.
Okay. So we've gone from a 30-second delay to a 3-month delay.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Good Pardon to hear me? Myself. Greet myself. Cool. All right. We'll start with an update on Blues defenseman Jay Bouwmeester, who suffered a cardiac episode on the bench last night in Anaheim. He was taken to the hospital. The team says he is conscious and alert and able to move his extremities. Great news for Bouwmeester. It was a scary, scary sight on the sideline, the game, or in the bench. The game between the Blues and the Ducks was suspended in the first period. It will be made up at a later date. On the NHL scoreboard, the Lightning won their eighth in a row, 2-1 over the Penguins in overtime. Tampa is now 1 point behind Boston for the most points in the league. NBA, the Celtics had no answer for James Harden.
Nice, was again this time on Smart. Shoots for three, and it goes in. James Harden now on quite the roll. 13 straight for number 13. And the Rockets have the biggest lead they've had in this game. They're up 10, 68-58.
Greg Ackerman with the call on Rockets Radio. Harden scored 42. The Rockets snapped the Celtics' seven-game winning streak, the final 116-105. The Sixers continuing their domination at home, now 25-2 after beating the Clippers 110-103, 26 points apiece for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Simmons had a triple-double.
Sixers only played at home, they'd be on pace for 76 wins.
Incredible. They can't beat anybody on the road.
They'd be on pace for 76-6 as their record. Unfortunately, you've got to play half your games on the road as well.
And it seems like I don't know what happens when they get on the road, but it's pretty bad.
They don't like one another. They don't like their head coach. They don't like playing with one another. It's a bad scene.
Maybe they sleep in, I don't know, two-star hotels or something. Their traveling secretary might need to look into this.
They just hate one another, I think.
And Joel Embiid, it seemed like he hated the Sixers fans on Sunday. He was shushing them after they were booing the team, but that seemed to change last night when he scored those 26 points.
Shh.
Zion Williamson can do that to everybody. Season high 31 as the Pelicans beat the Blazers 138-117. College basketball, Xavier Tillman's dunk with 6 seconds left, giving Michigan State a 70-69 win over Illinois. The Spartans ending a 3-game losing streak, while the Illinois, mark that one, Pete the Body. My goodness.
Fighting Illinois.
Whoa. The Illini. Let's try
Michigan
that again.
Chippewa. The Chippewas. The Illinois.
The greats.
The Illinois. The Fighting Illinois. The Illini lost leading scorer Io DeSumo. He suffered a potential serious knee injury on the final possession. Here is head coach Brad Underwood.
Obviously, the outcome of the game is secondary at this point. You get a knot in your stomach when you have one of your guys go down.
Brad Underwood, the head coach for the Fighting Illinois. Anyway, the San Diego State Aztecs, 82-59. They routed New Mexico.
The Aztecs,
25-0.
Aztecs going to be a one seed of the dance.
The Aztecs clinched the Mountain West
in the big tournament.
In the regular season title for the Mountain West. The Aztecs, 25-0, they get the win. The Dayton Flyers, there we go. 13 straight wins. They beat Rhode Island, 81-69. Maryland, Penn State, and Kentucky also with wins. North Carolina, by the way, lost again. They lost on the road to Wake Forest by 17. The Tar Heels are 10-14.
Woof.
3-10 in the ACC.
And yet nearly beat Duke twice.
Should have beaten Duke twice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They're 10-14 in the ACC.
Awful.
That's why everyone says how bad the ACC is. If Carolina was good, nobody would be saying all this stuff.
That's probably true.
Or they wouldn't be saying it as much.
Definitely not as much.
They're still not going to get as many teams in the tournament as they usually do. But
How many are they going to get in?
Boy, I mean, they were saying last night that Syracuse and NC State were playing for maybe the fourth or fifth spot.
And that's a bubble game right there. So maybe the ACC gets 5 in this year when oftentimes they've gotten 8, 9 or sometimes.
I think they've averaged, since they expanded to 15, they've averaged something like between 7 and 8. And they're looking at maybe 5.
Mm.
Maybe. Illinois, the Tear Halls, maybe. Anyway, college football news. Michigan State will reportedly hire Colorado's Mel Tucker as head coach. This after he announced on Twitter over the weekend that he was staying with the Buffaloes. Tucker was only in Boulder for one season. He began his coaching career under Nick Saban at Michigan State. Baseball, the Red Sox made it official. Ron Renicki, the interim manager, the interim tag out of respect for the sign-stealing investigation. And speaking of the sign-stealing, the Twins' Marwin Gonzalez was on that 2017 Astros team.
I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, everything that we did as a group. And then, and like the players that were affected directly by us by doing this and some of our teams. And then that's what I feel the more regret, and that's what I'm remorseful.
And according to The Athletic, Carlos Beltran is the one that created the scheme, and he ignored teammates that tried to get him to stop. A Wall Street Journal.
But how could he have created the scheme if they had a computer program within the front office called Codebreaker, and they had emails going back and forth titled Dark Arts within the front office?
And in one of those emails, the Wall Street Journal got a copy of one, an Astros executive called Beltran the godfather of the plan.
Yeah, so he executed the plan, but I think that the front office had a big role in developing the plan.
I guess he came to Houston and said, hey, we are far behind everybody else in sign stealing. So I guess he worked with and cooperated with a executive or an intern, I guess it was, to create this. I'm just, you know, who knows? But the Godfather is what he was called.
So Carlos Beltran came to Houston and said, guys, we got to step up our cheating game here.
And some of the players that teammates that tried to say, hey, man, let's back off. According to some of these stories, he was like, nope.
Nuh-uh.
Steamrolled. That was one of the quotes from The Athletic. Steamrolled right through it and kept going. And even A.J. Hinch said, I tried to stop it, but should have done more.
Oh, baloney.
I love the idea. I love the idea. We tried. We could not stop Carlos Beltran from cheating so much. All right. Thank you, Brad. We'll talk more about this with Adnan Virk coming up from DAZN and also MLB Network on the Astros, how they handle this coming forward, and the apologies whipping around Major League Baseball from former Astros and the recent Wall Street Journal article as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Doc. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So many funky beats this week from Beat the Body. 41 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a final Wednesday. You can listen to us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, Apple Music, or watch us at watchda.com. We're asking you, have you ever held an animal by its tail? That's your poll question on the day. Right now on Twitter, 69% say no. Good, you're with me. We had a mother in Florida holding a river otter by a tail that got into the house after fighting with its bulldog. Held it up like a prize. Yeah, not me. Our next guest, you watch him on DAZN, host of the great baseball whip-around show, Change Up. You see him on MLB Network as well. In fact, I joined him last week for a fun show for MLB Now. He's also a cinephile and host of that exact named podcast, Cinephile, the Adnan Virk movie podcast. Adnan joins us here on the show. Adnan, good morning.
DA, what's going on, man? Love the energy first thing in the morning, although it's not first thing in the morning. You've been up since 4 a.m., so good to be reunited, my friend.
Yes, you too. What'd you think about Parasite winning Best Picture?
Phenomenal. It was a very predictable Oscars and a very disappointing Oscars in terms of pure entertainment. I'm trying to watch the Academy Awards, which rewards film history. Instead, the Grammys broke out. I don't know why the hell I'm watching Janelle Monáe do the opening. I don't care about Eminem. Why is he singing Lose Yourself? My man Marty Scorsese is just trying to catch a cat nap. I'm like, it was just brutal. And all the awards were going by chalk, DA, which is why I was doing so great. I was 11 for 11 on my Oscar ballot.
Wow.
And then thankfully, Parasite wins Best Director. And I like Sam Mendes. Listen, he's a great director. He won for American Beauty 20 years ago. Skyfall is the best James Bond movie of recent memory. Revolutionary Road's a good drama. Road to Perdition is excellent. But Bong Joon-ho is on a different level with Parasite. And when he won Best Director, he said, oh, my God. As sports fans, we know that collective shock in the room when an upset is brewing. And that was a giant upset because Mendes had won the DGA, which is the Directors Guild Award. He'd won the BAFTA, which is the British Academy Awards. And he'd won the Golden Globe Best Director. So Bong Joon-ho wins. His speech is tremendous. Of course, he thanks Scorsese immediately. He's a living legend. He thanks Tarantino because of what he's done for Asian cinema. And he figures his night is over. And then sure enough, 1917 wins Best Picture, as you mentioned. It shouldn't be a total shock only for this reason. It had won the Best Ensemble from the SAG, the Screen Actors Guild Award, and that was the first ever foreign film to do so. And there's been times, I remember Spotlight was a notable example of a film that won the SAG Best Ensemble, had not won anything else. But 1917 was still the big favorite, DA. Listen, they won the PGA, which is the Producers Guild Award. 8 of the last 10 winners, including Green Book last year, that won the PGA, won Best Picture. It won the BAFTA Best Picture. It won the Golden Globe Best Motion Picture Drama. So 1917 losing was an upset, but the bottom line is this. You ask me, am I happy with it? Absolutely I am, because 1917 is a technically superior film. Roger Deakins is an incredible cinematographer. Thank God he won for cinematography for 1917, his second award in 15 nominations. But Parasite is the more memorable film. It's the more audacious film. It takes more chances. You've seen war films of the ilk of 1917, and I don't think the story was particularly notable. Parasite was truly special.
Huh. And Virk movie podcast called Cinephile. to get his thoughts on the Oscars. Okay, on to baseball here. What do you think the proper way the Astros should handle coming out of this meeting with the clubhouse and Jim Crane?
Well, you've got to come and collectively address the media. And the way it is, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to answer two questions and I'm not going to say anything else, or I'm going to read from a prepared statement and no follow-ups. That's the first thing. You've got to at least listen. You have not addressed the issue yet, so you got to let the sharks who smell blood in the water, let them attack, okay? So you've got to say, listen, we're going to do 30 minutes here. We might read from a prepared statement. Okay, fine. And then we're going to speak from the heart. And after that, questions, and you have at it. Ask anything you want. Now, I don't have to answer every question. I can say, well, I don't really want to go into detail or no comment on that. That's fine. But you can't tell the media, hey, we haven't talked, and now we're going to talk, and now it's two questions, and that's it. So I think you have to have that moment. This is the most difficult day for the Astros, okay? You're going to have to face the music, and you let everybody ask what they want to ask. You don't have to go into detail if you don't want to, but you have to let the questions be asked that want to be asked. And after that, you can say, hey, moving forward, guys, we're not going to talk about this. If somebody's late to the party, some media member shows up next week and asks, hey, I'm sorry, I just want to get your thoughts, we're not going to talk about it. But today, we're going to talk about it, and we'll answer every single thing that you guys want.
Did you think that A.J. Hinch ducked Tom Verducci's question about the buzzers?
Yeah, I didn't think it was great. Listen, as you know, as we said, being an MLB Network, I talked to one of the producers who was putting it together, and I said, it's 30 minutes? I said, oh, my God, don't you need like 6 minutes? Like, okay, I did or didn't do it. Here's what happened. All right, cool, got it, move on. And so I was amazed in the course of all that amount of time that, to your point, that specific question, which is what people would want answered, I don't think he answered as well as he could have. I don't want to say he ducked it necessarily, but I will say he did not answer, I think, as well as he could have.
It feels like to me out of that answer that A.J. Hinch just doesn't want to paint himself into another corner, that if other stuff comes out, he does not want to be on record saying we did not do this or we did do that. Do you think that's the read there?
Yeah, I think it's almost like, listen, you got us on this stuff. There may be some other stuff which has not come to light, or there may be some circumstantial stuff on other stuff which cannot be proven. And so rather than admit to something before I have to, let me just focus on what's at hand right now. I mean, it's classic. I mean, listen, I'm not a lawyer, but if you ask, I've watched enough lawyer movies. I mean, the lawyers will tell you, listen, just admit to what you have to. After that, we'll see what happens. You take each step as it comes. So you're right. You don't want A.J. Hinch to say, okay, here's exactly what transpired and nothing else, because he doesn't need to say that yet. So I think in his own mind, it's like, listen, come out right now, apologize for what happened here, say you wish that this hadn't happened. But you're right. He's not giving extensive detail as to other stuff.
Adnan Virk joins us, DAZN, Changeup, MLB Network joining us here on the show. With Marwin Gonzalez apologizing, showing remorse, it shows yet another former Astro taking that tack. Do you think that's because the former Astros have to face their opponents now in those clubhouses, and their opponents, now their teammates, are very bitter about how the Astros won?
Yeah, I think it's been easier, D.A., for the former teammates. Like you said, Gonzalez and Keuchel, both those guys, very forthright and very accountable. And I think part of that is once you're away from the situation, it's easier, right? So that the house is no longer burning. Hey, I'm over here on the other side of town. I want to say I'm sorry about what happened over there, but I'm moving on with my life. So it's easier to extricate yourself from the situation when you're no longer involved in it day to day. But part of it, too, is exactly what you said. I think you're trying to regain respect and with your teammates, because I am sure there's going to be new teammates who say, listen, welcome the team. Yeah, you're a member of our team, but I don't like what you did, and I don't respect what you did. So I'm not 100% in favor of you as a person, but you're a member of the team. We'll try to move past that. But absolutely, how could guys not have a little bit of grudges or reservations about them? How would that even be humanly possible? Think about the Dodgers, especially if any of those former Astros went to the Dodgers. How could those guys not be a little chilly towards and say, listen, you cost us. You robbed us potentially of a World Series, and now you expect me to pat you in the back here and expect everything's okay? It doesn't work that way.
What'd you make of the floated proposal of the revamped postseason idea?
At first, yeah, I didn't like it for this simple purpose. I like the fact that fewest teams in baseball make the playoffs. I don't like the fact that, much as I love hockey, in hockey and basketball, 16 of 30 make it. I was, come on, what's the point of the regular season when over half the teams make the playoffs? Football, pretty good. 12 of 30 makes sense. In baseball, I love it the most. I say, hey, only a third of the teams make it. That first wild card came in 94, which was flawed because all of a sudden the wild card team could go all the way to the World Series. You go, hang on a second. Well, why is it the equal playing field with division winners? They solved that a little bit by adding the fifth team, the second wild card in 2012. But I do see a sense of, listen, one game is kind of unfair. I mean, these teams are grinding through 162, and all of a sudden, if your starting pitcher gets shelled or if you had to use your best ace on the final day of the regular season. Now, I can't use him in the wild card game. It feels a little bit, you know, odd. So I do like the idea of a best of three. Having said that, adding two more teams, now I say, hang on a second. Now returning to March Madness, now 14 of 30 teams make the playoffs. I don't like that as much. But, again, I do like rewarding the team with the best record. So I like the fact that number one team gets the bye, and then 2, 3, 4 facing 5, 6, 7. And the idea of 2 or 3 picking their opponent on TV, I've always said sports is the best reality television out there. I know it's gimmicky, but could also be fun. Because imagine if you're the Yankees a season ago, they could have picked, they were the number two team, they would have picked one of the Rays, Indians, or Red Sox. And how funny would it have been if they said, okay, of those teams, the Red Sox appear to be the weakest, we're going to pick our mortal rival, or no, we're going to duck them and go with the Rays or in our division or the Indians, whatever it is. It kind of goes back to playground basketball or baseball or hockey, whatever it is. When you're picking teams, oh, really, you don't think I'm that good? I'm the last pick? Well, I'm going to show you. I agree it's a little gimmicky, but there's something to it. And listen, playoff baseball is the best. It's my favorite time of year. If you want to give me some more games on top of what I already have, I'm not going to quibble with that.
Do you think that there are executives worried or nervous about being put in that position to, quote-unquote, disrespect some of their peers or their opponents?
Yeah, because, listen, it's not like it's a private hush-hush matter. This is going to be a televised event on ESPN or MLB Network or Fox or whatever. So, I mean, literally, you're going to have, like, Aaron Boone staring into the camera. We want you. Like Uncle Sam saying, I want you. I'm like, that could be an awkward moment, I think, certainly for executives, because they're going to have to try to couch it. It's like, well, we want them because we feel that our team matches up the best. No, we think we can beat them. That's it. We think of the three teams out there, we think they're the weakest. We're picking on the weakest to go furthest. I think it'll be awkward, certainly, for some executives. For the players, I think they might get a kick out of it.
Adnan Virk is our guest this morning on the show. Let me just tell you, I know I spoke to you off-air on MLB Network about going to see 1917. I finally did over the weekend. And I got one of those theaters where they kick out the recliner seats so your legs go up and you recline.
Nice. Yeah.
My good Adnan, I haven't done this before. This is a game changer.
Oh, yeah. D.A., it's almost too good. Like, when people say, oh, why go to the movies? You know, I can just watch it on Netflix. I'm like, no, but seriously, you pay the $14, the reclining seats, I'm like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And if it's a bad movie, you get a little nap in. And if it's a great movie, you're even more comfortable. And 1970, as I said to you, listen, that's a movie for the big screen. With Deakin cinematography, the sound mixing, which you won for, I mean, that's truly a theatrical experience. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, it was awesome. It was one of the best films I've seen in a long time. I was surprised it didn't win Best Picture, but I did not see Parasite yet, so yeah. I can't say one way or the other. Follow Adnan Virk on Twitter, at Adnan S. Virk. Watch him on DAZN as part of Change Up, an awesome whip-around highlight show nightly on DAZN when it comes to baseball and also on MLB Network. It's good to catch up with you again, my man. Thanks so much for doing it today.
Anytime, D.A. Take care, brother.
You too. Adnan Virk joining us this morning here on the show. Good stuff. Yeah, this was my first experience with the reclining seats of the theater. Now, my mom and I went to go see 1917. I really wanted to see it. Got in, and it was a $15 ticket, which is a little steep where we ended up going, the theater. I know usually tickets aren't that expensive, so I said, wow, that's kind of interesting. But okay, $15 paid for me and my mom. Got a drink, got a little candy, went in there. Whoa. Sat in these seats, and they're just like you were in a Lazy Boy, basically. They're set up in twos. And so you're not necessarily directly next to anybody either if you're in a two or a foursome. You have to pick your seat. You can't just go in there and sit anywhere. You've got to actually buy your seat like you're going to a game or the theater. You go in there, you sit down, and there's a little button on the left side. You press it. Recliner seat pushes out. You rock back. Your feet go up. You can push it back and forth. I'm like, whoa! Whoa, you just nestle up right in there like a little nest, like a little bear cub, and you're just in it to win it. I could not get up to go to the bathroom. Now, the movie itself was phenomenal. 1917, again, one of the best films I've seen in a long time. I was moved. My heart was in my throat the entire time. The acting was superb. The set design was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. The attention to detail, I was so impressed. But I couldn't go to the bathroom because this was such a comfortable seat. When we come back, I can't believe this team is still the most valuable franchise in their sport. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.